I'm going to call tonight's meeting of the Common Council to order. In the absence of the mayor, I'll be acting mayor, however I will be voting as an alderman. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Taylor is excused. Alderman Dandria?
Here.
Alderman Mayor?
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Here.
Acting Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Here.
Alderman Scott?
Here.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. We will start tonight with the citizen comment period. All those wishing to speak, please come up to the microphone and give your name and address. We're open for citizen comment period. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak for citizen comment period? Seeing none, that is closed. Under announcements from the mayor, we have Eagle Scout Tyler Bundy's. If Alderman Schmidt would join me and read in the announcement from the mayor.
More than 24 volunteers and dedicated in excess of 150 service hours in planning and implementing its completion. And whereas Tyler's family, friends, scouting leaders, and other members of Boy Scout Troop 596 and the community are very proud of his achievement. Now, therefore, I, Thomas M. Taylor, mayor of the city of Franklin, do hereby congratulate Tyler Bundy on his outstanding achievement of becoming Eagle Scout. August 18th, 2013.
You want to explain to the audience of the county council what I did?
Well, the biggest part of the Eagle process is the Eagle Scout Service Project. So, as was said, I refinished and staged Franklin High School. All 4 years in high school, I did participate in the ball plays, so I was aware that it was not in very good condition. So, after my final play, I fundraised through the Lions Club of Franklin and several other businesses in Franklin, and was able to refinish the stage, not only so it looked much more professional than it did already, but also repair some of the places that had become hazardous, such as big holes in the back where kids tripped over more than once, including myself. So I was proud to be able to do that for Franklin High School so that other people who shared passion for acting like I did could have a better stage to do so.
All right, thank you very much. We're gonna steal this back from you and get us a nice plaque. So congratulations on it.
Mr. Acting Mayor, can I say just a word?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm actually a full-time mayor. I just want to say I've had the honor of knowing Tyler for the last 5 years. He's been a great kid all along. He's a graduate of Franklin High School. He's just been a good kid. He's a great role model for other kids as well. He also shares the stage tonight with another Franklin graduate who's also an Eagle Scout, our fire chief, Adam Remington. So there's two Eagle Scouts in here from Franklin High School. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. Mr. City Attorney.
Just a thought that I believe that I heard that Alderman Taylor, who's the Common Council President, say acting mayor.
That is correct. All
right. Stay corrected.
Okay, we have now item C, approval of minutes.
So,
motion and a second. Seeing that, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I believe that Alderman Mayor did second the motion on G7, where it says motion failed lack of second.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
Are you talking about the one to enter to disallow it?
Yeah. And G7. He made the second on that one, and then we ended up that all of us kind of changed his motion to go into closed session based on the city attorney's comments.
Actually, I thought I seconded not to go into closed session.
Yeah, which is that one.
I made the motion not to go into closed session.
That is not what that is.
That's a different one.
And Clerk.
Alderman Skaronski moved to disallow the claim. It failed due to the lack of a second. Alderman Skaronski then moved to not go into closed, which you seconded, and the mayor determined that that was not a valid motion. If you'd like, I can throw that in there. Usually motions that are not valid are not placed in there.
That's a good explanation.
If you would like that.
I'm happy with that explanation.
Okay.
You're welcome.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, we're at hearings. Madam Clerk, we have a public hearing regarding special assessment for extension of sanitary sewer and water main on the west side of South 76th Street in various locations from West Butte Road to West Faith Drive. And I'm guessing we have a official notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin has declared its intention to exercise its police powers under Section 66.0701 Wisconsin Statutes and Section 207-15 Franklin Municipal Code to levy special assessments for sanitary sewer and water main installation improvements in the west side of South 76th Street in various locations from West Butte Road to West Faith Drive. A report showing proposed plans and proposed assessments and other data is on file in the clerk's office at Franklin City Hall. Notice is hereby given that such report is open for review and inspection from Monday through Friday and will be so continued for the period of 10 days after the publication of this notice. Notice is also hereby further given that on Tuesday, August 20th, 2013, at 6:30 p.m., Common Council will be in session in their chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear all persons interested, their agents or attorneys, concerning the matter contained in the preliminary resolution and report, including proposed assessments. By order of the Common Council of the City of Franklin, this 23rd day of July, 2013.
All right. It would be proper to have Mr. Bennett give his presentation first, and then we will open to citizen comment. Jack, fire away.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, this is a public hearing required by statutes for any special assessment, and this is for assessing in three areas, sanitary sewer, in four areas, water main extension, prior to the reconstruction of South 76th Street between West Faith Drive and West Butte Road. I will be going through, there are a number of slides, I'll try to go through them as fast as I can. Mr. Romeis, the assistant engineer, is here. He does have a copy of the assessment reports and a copy of the summary copy of the slides. And anybody that's here on that subject is welcome to have one. And Mr. Paulus is here. Mr. Paulus is from Grafe, a design engineer, and they did the detailed design and specifications for the project. Project has been bid. Public hearing is being held prior to the council making the final decision on whether they would go ahead with this project or projects. And I will then kind of go through and explain the project so that people will have understanding of the costs and the requirements for installation of sanitary sewer and water. Again, the project is for sanitary sewer is project S-2013-101, and for water, project WU-2013-101. And as I mentioned, there are four areas for water and three areas for sanitary sewer. You can see the areas in green. This is for sanitary sewer. What's happened is that over the years, either through subdivision development or other extensions, small areas did not receive sanitary sewer, and it's being considered that these areas receive sanitary sewers. All the other areas abutting this area of South 76th Street do have sanitary sewers. Same thing is true with water. You see the red areas, and some of these overlap where the sewer is. They are areas we're considering for putting in a water main. The rest of the areas in this area are served by a water main. Kind of the history is, in September of 2012, a survey was conducted for the extension of sewer and water, and the results were as follows. And the dots on the map show the results. Kind of to summarize, it was kind of pretty much an equal vote on sanitary sewer. In water, there were three votes in favor and six votes against. We did bring this to the attention of the council at the time, and the council voted to go ahead with the project in that they felt that the project should be done before reconstruction, so the area isn't dug up after the roads are 76 reconstructed by the county. Common Council adopted direction for the city to staff to proceed, and that was done in Resolution 2013-6898. Costs, and that's always, of course, a big part of the extension of by special assessments, and the assessable cost for sanitary sewer was $217,987.80. The city's cost, and all these have caps on it, the single-side sewer, single-side water, such that the city has a cap on its assessment, so the city picks up a portion of it. In this case, the city would be picking up $120,741.98. Then the lateral costs and the total project costs. I won't read all these numbers. You can see the numbers, and you do have them in your copies. The assessable cost, again, for water main, the city's cost. And you can see the city cost is quite high for water main, almost $300,000 out of the $442,000. The frontage, and this is how we come up with the assessment rate. And if we did not have a cap on the assessment rate would have been $184.37. But since we have a cap, this is for sanitary sewer, we have a cap, it's $82.25. That's why that's a highly subsidized project. For water main, the same thing. The assessable cost would be a little less than $200 a foot, $193.70. And the cap for water is $65.25. So the zoning would be for sanitary sewer would be $82.25 per foot, and I guess all these are residential lots, so we didn't show the commercial amount. And for water main, it's $65.25. Six-inch for laterals, and this is kind of complicated, but if it goes near a well, within 25 feet of a well, we have to go with pressure pipe. So the laterals where you have a well in the front yard are much higher. So the normal lateral without a well is $1,909.36. With a well in the front yard, it's $4,296.64. And then an 8-inch lateral, there's one 8-inch lateral, and that's $3,480. For water main, they're all 1 1/4-inch laterals, and they're $2,697 a piece. Now, these are all bid prices, so these are prices that were bid. In any special assessment project, you really have to talk about benefit, and the benefit is for sanitary sewer is assurance of treatment by a wastewater treatment facility, the elimination of the need for the maintenance and repair of individual on-site septic systems, and the elimination of the potential for contamination of the groundwater serving private well systems by pathogenic or disease-causing microorganisms presented in the wastewater. The elimination and the potential for odors due to wastewater from on-site septic systems seeping out of the ground during the seasonal periods of high groundwater. And the development of vacant and underdeveloped or partially developed properties which are deferred from development for the lack of municipal sanitary sewer system, causing a negative impact on the fair market value. And now the benefits for water main. Increased fire protection, reliability of supply, assurance of water supply, which has been routinely tested for potability. The elimination of the need for the maintenance and repair of individual wells, the development of vacant, underdeveloped, or partially developed properties, and the elimination of the potential for cross-connection between individual limestone wells. And the elimination of the use of limestone aquifers, which are more susceptible to contamination by pollution from surface contaminations, including fertilizer, pesticides, and spills. Just to show an example of what the cost would be for a 100-foot lot, and this is with no well in the front yard, the assessment would be at $82.85 a foot, would be $8,285, plus the lateral, which is $1,909.36. And then at the time that you connect, a connection fee of $600 for a total cost of $10,804.36. And of course, this would vary if you had a longer lot. We do have a minimum of 100-foot assessment, so this would be the minimum cost for a lot. For sanitary sewer, pretty similar, except it's $82.25 a foot. And this is with well in the front yard. And the only difference is you can see this $4,296.64. Again, the reason for this is that DNR regulations require special treatment where there's a well in the front yard so there's no cross-contamination. With water main, 100-foot lot at 6525 is $6,525. The lateral is $2,697. And the connection charge or impact fee charge is $1,970 for a total of $11,192. Construction. Sanitary sewer and water could be installed in the ditch area on the west side of South 76th Street. During construction, residents would have access to their property at all times. And after construction, the sanitary sewer water main, the ditch will be restored. Kind of a temporary restoration because in 2014, the county is planning, and I did check with the county, the plans are still the plans to construct 76th Street in 2014. It would be the goal of this project is to complete the water main and sanitary sewer insulation prior to the county reconstructing 76th Street. A couple pictures of construction using pretty much plastic pipe, glued on tees. The property owner can pick, well, again, the ladder, this shows a typical lateral with the lateral extension to the house, generally under the basement floor, so you can serve the basement, the floor drain for the basement. This city would be extending the water main through the lot line and be the property owner's responsibility within 1 year to extend that to the home. It can be at any place that the property owner would like their laterals. They will receive a form like shown, and they can mark where they like want the lateral. I kind of suggest that it go in through the building itself and not around, but any time you have a change in direction of the lateral, you have potential for a blocked sewer. Basically, the very same thing with water. Each lot would receive one lateral. Extra laterals would be available at the lateral rate. So if you had a parcel that could be divided into, say, two lots, you could ask for two laterals. Policy, special assessment policy. Minimum assessment for sanitary sewers. The maximum assessment, excuse me, for sanitary sewers by city code, which is updated each year by the cost of living index, is $82.25 per front foot. Front foot is the frontage on the, in this case, on 76th Street. The maximum assessment for water main is $65.25 per foot. Assessment policies, corner lots, we only assess the short side. It really doesn't come into play in this project. Minimum assessment does come into play on a few lots is a minimum of 100 feet. That's kind of the basic service. These are all by ordinance. Now, odd-shaped lot, we average the front and the rear. In this case, if the rear is quite narrow or actually goes into like a triangle, you'd average the two. In that case, it would be zero, so you'd have the front footage. If sanitary sewer is extended, there will be an average. We have a flat rate for sanitary sewer. It's $52.30 a quarter. So four times a year you receive a bill. Average water bill, assuming you use 12,000 gallon usage, if you use more than more, if you use less, it'd be less, is $82.08. The city does have a payment program over 12 years at 6% interest. The bills would be sent out after the project is completed. You have 30 days to pay the bill. If you don't pay the bill, it automatically goes on the payment program, and you would receive that on your tax bill over 12 years at 6% interest. If the council approves the construction, we'd anticipate that sometime about mid-September, the construction could start and it would be completed by the end of the year. So, and Mr. Mayor, that's pretty much the end of my presentation.
Okay, thank you, Jack. I'm going to open up the public hearing. So for those wishing to speak, please step up to the microphone, give me your name and address, or give us your name and address and for the record, and please limit yourself to 3 minutes. Hello.
Trisha McEwen, 8151 South 76th Street. And you repeated to me what the difference is on the well being in the front yard. That was the definition.
If a well is in the front yard, the lateral cannot, it's within 25 feet of the well, the sanitary sewer lateral must be a pressure pipe instead of regular pipe, and that's a DNR code.
So 25 feet left to right?
Yes.
That's it? And then the other thing is did we look at any other creative opportunities for financing? Again, 6% in this economy is quite high, for a city, we should be able to leverage better tax or better interest rates for all of us who can't afford this anyway?
Well, that's up to the council, but the city has for many, many years used the 6% rate. We really are offering this for anybody that doesn't have the possibility of any other rates. Most people would probably not take the 6% rate because it is very high. But that's something that the council sets and has stuck with the 6% for years. But it could be changed.
Then to the council, do you guys ever look at that and reassess where your debt ratio is and how you can refinance to bring an advantage to people in this time? You know, have we looked at that? I know that that's very much a possibility in the finance world.
For an answer, I don't think that's something that we have done, and it's probably something we could take a look at, put on a finance committee agenda.
Yeah, we do that agenda and review it in the future.
There should be a person in the city that does your financing, and they should be able to tell you when the last time they looked at and changed the rates. And hey, by the way, I can consolidate this, and get this, and do this, and give people 4%.
I think that's something we probably could put on a future agenda. Paul, does that sound good? All right, excellent. We will take a look at that and see I'm not sure why the policy is the way it is or how we came up with 6%, but I suppose we can find that out, that answer, and see what our options we have available.
Yeah, I think that's didn't go with the times here.
Like I said, we'll put on a future finance committee agenda and we'll take a look.
All right, I think that's it.
Alderman Mayor?
I'd like to just do a follow-up question to one of her questions. Mr. Bennett,
ma'am,
somebody...
To her?
No, not
oh,
to her,
okay.
Mr.
All
Bennett.
Right.
Mr. Bennett, if somebody has a well in their front yard and they're hooking up water, they no longer need the well, right? So would that not come into play if they're hooking up water and sewer at the same time?
If they would abandon their well, very possibly they could and would change.
Okay. So if they would abandon their well, they would have to take the steps necessary to do that, but financially, it could work out to their benefit to abandon their well and hook up water at the same time.
And we do have unit prices, so we could, if somebody would work out to abandon their well before they utilize their sanitary sewer, they could do it.
And also, the 8-inch, if they put an 8-inch pipe, they don't need pressure pipes? If they would keep the well in the front yard, they put an 8-inch.
Size has nothing to do with it. Just so we need no pressure. The sanitary sewer, if it's within the 25 feet of the well, needs to be a pressure sewer. Pressure pipe for the sewer. Normally, it's not a pressure pipe. In other words, you literally have to have water main pipe for the sewer instead of regular sewer pipe.
Okay, so the 8-inch would be pressure also.
These would be 6-inch laterals.
Okay.
That's your question. All right, anybody else wishing to speak at the public here, please step forward.
Okay. Rick Brisbello, 9244 West Grandview Court, what owner of the property at 7711 South 76th Street. And I would like to just say that I'm in favor of the project, that it obviously just makes common sense to do this before the construction of 76th Street.
Thank you very much. Anybody else wishing to speak at the public? You state your name again for the record.
Tricia McEwen, 8151 South 76th Street.
Thank you.
When they tore up some pipe, the asbestos pipe from We Energies, you know, I came home to a torn up, didn't know if I was getting sewer and water that day or what. Is there some process to inform us so that maybe we can plan for our kids and parking and just the day's activities? It was quite a shock. And
Jack?
Yeah, that was We Energies that did that. It wasn't the city. But yes, we would work with you. We'd have an inspector on the job telling you when we're going to be in your area, when we'd cross your drive. So during that short period of time, you'd get your car out. So we'll have DNR requires all the time we have construction, we have an inspector on the job. And that would be from Grave. And they do a good job trying to communicate. I apologize for We Energies, but we didn't have anything to do with that.
But do you guys know when they come in, or you don't even have to know? I guess I thought that would be part of the project.
Well, it wasn't part of this project for the sewer and water. They abandoned that old main. We did work with them to point, because actually we're going to put the sewer in where they abandoned their main. But as far as timing and everything else, we really didn't have any contact with them.
It'd just be nice to know for us.
All right, thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Anybody else wishing to speak? I'm going to close the public hearing. All right, under organizational business, for a board and commission appointments, we have a Cindy McManus, the Environmental Commission.
Move to approve.
Second.
The motion and a second. And clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
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 Six ayes, zero noes, motion passes. All right, let's now we're getting to all the good stuff. Under reports and recommendations, item G1, 2013 reevaluation update, presentation by Mark Link, City of Franklin Assessor. Mark? Yeah, grab the mic, please. You saw how Jack performed his presentation nice and quick. We have less slides, so
I do.
Be quicker accordingly.
Give me a moment to try to get connected here, please. Otherwise, we can go with the paper trail. Do you have paper?
Yeah, we do, but I think there's some in the audience may be wishing to see your presentation. I'm sure we'll have some questions up here.
This evening, the administrator Mark and I wanted to give the council a brief update of the recap of the 2013 revaluation as well as the current status. If you go to page 2 or slide 2 of the presentation, a few reasons to perform the revaluation for 2013. The last reassessment or revaluation occurred for the 2010 assessment year. Since then, there were changes in the marketplace that have taken place between classes of property and even within a class of property, individual property groups. As an example, condominiums have been affected a little bit more greatly than single-family homes. Vacant land, vacant residential land, has been affected differently than single-family homes, as well as commercial class properties as a group when compared to residential properties, and we'll talk about those percentages in a little bit on the slides. For 2012, the level of assessment in the city had risen to 103%, which means the average property was assessed at 3% over its market value. Without performing the reassessment this year or revaluation, we would anticipate that level of assessment would have risen to 107% or 108% on the average. Next slide is an outline of the scope of the reevaluation. This year was a little different than in years past. This was what we call a market or statistical update as opposed to the full-blown field review of all properties in the city. We've driven properties in the city 7 or 8 times since the 1990s with the exterior review, so we wanted to take advantage of that data that we had on file as well as the interior data. We introduced more current sales that took place during calendar years 2011 and 2012 to arrive at our assessed value for January 1, 2013. Without performing the reassessment, the assessments were still based off of the 2008 and 2009 sales as part of the 2010 reassessment. We also sent out income and expense mailers to commercial property owners as we have in the past. All of the due diligence and research was performed on properties that were sold to help us arrive at our market estimates. And again, the biggest difference between this reassessment or revaluation compared to others was it was more of an office review as opposed to the full field review. Notices of assessment were mailed to property owners on July 8th. all property owners. And then we had a phone bank between July 9th and July 30th where property owners could call, have some general questions answered, or schedule a meeting to meet with assessment staff. We met with property owners face-to-face between July 15th and August 1st. We met with roughly 135 property owners, which represented 158 properties in the city. We changed 82 properties, and 72 property owners received what we call a no-change letter as a result of the meeting from Open Book. The 2010 revaluation, we met with over 600 property owners, and so we're at about 25% of where we were at 3 years ago as far as Open Book goes. The letters of determination were mailed to those property owners on August 5th that met with us during the Open Book period. The letter included instructions on how to appeal or object to the Board of Review. The original notice of assessment as well included instructions on how to contact our office and or appeal to the Board of Review as well. The notice itself also contained a two-sided insert, which was a general question and answer thing for property owners to review to help them through the assessment process. The Board of Review is scheduled to meet this Thursday to start its hearings. As of the time of this presentation was prepared, there were 7 objections. As of the end of the day today, there were 15 residential objections and 4 commercial objections to the Board of Review. The commercial objections did not participate in the open period, and about half of the residential objections did not participate in the open book period as well. On the next slide, results from the revaluation for the 2 major classes of property, residential class and commercial class. For the residential classification, we have a couple of sub-bullets there, 2013 versus 2012. And again, keep in mind that 2012 is actually 2010 because we haven't reassessed in 3 years. So the new values are at 89.7% of last year's numbers when you include the new construction growth, properties that were built during calendar year 2012. And then the next sub-bullet, due to revaluation, new construction out. So if you remove the properties that were built during 2012, the results of the revaluation for residential properties as a whole is 89% of what they were previously. And as I mentioned before, there were some subcategories within the residential groups. And those land, single family, and condominiums are the aggregate level of where they were at in the previous year leading up to the reassessment. Commercial classification properties remain pretty stable compared to what they were in 2010. We're roughly at 98% of the 2010 figures. The next 2 slides is the detail of the summary that we just reviewed. I'll be open to questions if you have any on those 2 slides. Slide 10 is the total local assessed value. It does not include manufacturing, real estate, or manufacturing personal property. That class of property is assessed by the state, and they'll send out their final numbers in November. But the local TID out value is at 91.4% of what it was last year. And that includes locally assessed real estate and locally assessed personal property. And lastly, some internal statistics. Before we send out the notice of assessment, sales ratio analysis where we take a look at the 2013 assessments, divide those assessed values by properties that sold during 2012. We have an aggregate ratio of 99%. There are some measures of central tendency that we review as well, the coefficient of variation and coefficient of dispersion. And you'll see that we're at 6% on the coefficient of variation. The Department of Revenue standard is 15%. Industry standard for the coefficient of dispersion is 5%. So it's really just a measure to see where you're at to the mean and mean ratio on the average. The price-related differential is a measure of measuring higher value properties, $400,000 and up, compared to $250,000 and less. We're at a perfect 1.00 for that particular measurement. And then lastly, we anticipate our general level assessment to be around 98.5% of the Department of Revenue's equalized number for 2013. That's all I have, and open for questions. Thank you.
We have questions up here.
No, I didn't fall asleep. But
nobody has any questions? Or I'm going to ask a question. I've received a number of phone calls from constituents on this when they got their statement in the mail, basically. The thing that they would say to me is, how come the drop was greater now in terms of the dollar amount compared to when we did it in 2010? Because in 2010, the economy or the housing market was in a lot worse condition as it is now. Many people argued at that time that the drop was not large enough. You actually have people now, some of them saying the it dropped too much. And when you see all the statistical data out there that the housing market is getting better, why such a large drop? I know some of it has to do with, is it because of that two-year period that we're using?
That's correct. There's two answers, and I'll answer the last one first, in that there are reports that there is a recovery during calendar year 2013. However, our assessment date is January 1, 2013, so we were looking at what's taking place in calendar years 2011 and 2012. And the answer to the first question is it's simply based on what the sales are indicating out there, in particular condominiums have continued to be impacted by the change in the market in the last 3 years.
Most of me, I think all my calls were based on single-family residents. Mm-hmm. When is the next time we're going to do a full... I mean, this obviously was a less expensive option. We did this for this year. When are we due to do a full-blown reevaluation like we did in 2010? Mark?
We try to do them every 3 years. As we approach that third year, we evaluate whether or not we should extend it to a fourth year. The guideline with the state is once your property classes start to deviate by more than 10%, they expect you to do it. So I anticipate it will still be 3 years. As we get close to that, we would see if we should extend it to a fourth. If the market goes nuts in the next 2 years, you could see me come back and suggest we need to accelerate it so that we stay within the state guideline.
So basically what people have been assessed at now is going to be good for 2 years, 3 years, potentially 4 years, and they still have the options of asking for open book every year and coming during that July or whatever, and then coming to the board review next year if they haven't done it this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes.
One thing I'd like to add, when Mr. Lean talks about the fact that using 2011-2012 data, the reason he's using that is because he's following the state guidelines and the state manual for how he's to perform the assessment process. So it's not that that is a methodology their firm is selected to use. They're following the state rule. So it's those years were picked in the cutoff for January 1st is picked because that's how the manual would instruct them to do a revaluation for a January 1st, 2013 date.
So for those doing a, next year open book or before the board, they'd be looking at the previous 2 years, and they'll get 13 and 12. Is that how you do it? You always go back 2 years?
Well, in the non-revaluation years, yeah, we would take a look at information that they have in that case for 2013 sales.
Okay. All right. Any, Alderman Schmidt?
I think maybe what some people are curious too is, would this reevaluation have any, what kind of impact would it have on 2014 property taxes or any reassessment?
That's outside of my office.
Mark?
But I can address that. The assessment does not in any way affect the total taxes collected. It just decides how the pie gets split up to all the individual property owners. So a person whose property assessment changed by the average amount across the city will find that their taxes haven't changed at all. If an individual property owner is in a property that performed better against the marketplace, it was a more desirable property compared to market sales, and their valuation only went down 5%, they're likely to see a slight shift of the property tax bill toward their property. Similarly, for example, the condominium owners, where the market has not performed as well as other residential properties or commercial properties, their properties have gone down more than average, and they will see a slight reduction in the property tax bill as the property tax burden was shifted to other property owners. But again, that's the statutory and constitutional, right, state constitutional method of distributing the property tax bill.
Alderman Mayor?
When somebody sells their house, they'll get an appraisal on their own, independent. So to some extent, our appraisals are irrelevant to the value in the home. This seems like a hugely labor-intense thing to do, to assess every home in the city. Is there a simpler way to do this where we could just, everything increases by the cost of living every year. Can't we just increase by that little bit each year? And wouldn't that be relatively close since?
No. And the reason is if you look at, if we would have done that this year as an example and just said, okay, everyone in the city is going to go down 8%, you would still have to consider the uniformity where vacant landowners, condominium owners, and other types of properties would be paying more than their fair share because the market is different for those property groups than they are for others. So besides that percent of change, you have to look at the different property types within the classes of property.
And I knew that was going to be the answer. I just wanted to make sure.
Well, and they also look at neighborhoods, and it may not impact Franklin as much, but there are communities where, you know, maybe living on the north side fared better than the south side or east side or west side. And those market changes, what the market value is important because that's the basis. Our Constitution, our state law says we have to distribute our taxes on an equitable, fair share.
And isn't it also different parts of it? I mean, a lot of people saw the news, you know, it sounded like the East Coast, the West Coast got hit harder than the Midwest. The Midwest's property values held better, didn't they, during the downturn in the housing market? We got impacted less in here, in states like here, Ohio, Illinois, Iowa, compared to, let's say, Las Vegas, where you think you heard like 40% in that. Is that correct?
That's correct, as a general statement.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney.
Just add real quickly, I think property owners do appreciate as well being able to come in and being handed a sales comparison sheet that specifically says here are the comparables that were used for your property that has more current sales data on it, so we can explain to them that way as well how we arrived at the value.
All right, seeing no further questions, there's no action required on this item. Item G2, recap of Civic Celebrations Commission for 2013 activities. I see two gentlemen in the audience. If they could take a seat. And it's not a hot seat. So you past and current chair of the committee. Bob, why don't you join Jonathan? And then just please name an address for the record.
You all got copies of the income statement?
Yep.
And this is a summary of the 2013 festival. And you'll see in our income, we went up $13,000. Well, I was going to introduce myself. I'm John Bergner. I'm the chairman. And Bob Knackert was chairman last year and helped me a lot. And it was the first year I did it as chairman. And without his help, it would have been a lot harder. Our donations was down. It's the third straight year that our donations have gone down. So we dealt with, $3,000 less there. Our ticket sales were up. We had great weather. know, that was the biggest factor. And that shows in the food, because when it's hot, like last year when we had it up to 100 degrees, people don't buy food, you know, and the food sales was up. Carnival Commission was up, and, you know, we had that increase of $13,000. In our expenses, did some cutbacks in the entertainment, you know, after last year having that $16,000 loss, you know, we thought we'd make some cutbacks. You know, parade was pretty much the same. We spent the same on fireworks and everything else, you know, adds to itself. So if you guys got any questions, you know, and normally I would be bringing up 2014, but next year the 4th of July is on a Friday, and I need to get with my committee members to see, you know, if they are able to work a three-day festival, which it works out best. And that would be a Thursday, Friday, 4th of July, and then Saturday. And that helps us with our, you know, our revenue, because we're renting the tents for the same price over 2 years, for 2 days versus 3 days. So a lot of our costs are the same. So that we still have to get together, and then I'll come back in front of you and work on a proposal then. So has anyone got any questions?
Before I open up to any questions, I just want to commend you for the job that you've done. And Bob also for being there and kind of passing the torch. Last year was a rough year. We didn't do very well, but it's not that the organization and the committee didn't work their tails off. It was so hot, and people just were not eating and drinking, and that's essentially the issue. And in a two-day festival, it's a killer. And this year, the weather was perfect, but you guys worked your tails off, and the committee, and I want to just commend you. And yeah, next year, three days is a much more profitable, which will be good. And we still have a reserve, which is a nice thing. So any questions from my colleagues? Or Ms. Gronsky?
No, they always do a great job. And, of course, weather is a big factor. Yeah, if it rains, you're just out of luck. And they do everything possible to adjust to it. But the weather is the big factor, and you lucked out with good weather. And, again, thank you for a great job.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Great evening. Bob. Item G3, request approval to authorize capital budget funding for fire station number 1 bathroom remodel, the amount of $20,000 to complete fire station number 1 kitchen remodel. Chief?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Are we going to have any discussion? No discussion?
Under discussion, we have a motion and a second. Do you have any questions or?
No, I think they should present what they're doing. I think everybody has an interest in updating the fire station. They worked damn hard to try and get that through the award through IKEA, and I think it's only fair, because it's spending citizens' money, and they should know what they're getting and the longevity of and how they planned this out. They worked hard on it, and I don't see.
Well, Alderman Skransky is requesting a brief presentation.
Is this
something, because with the police chief, it's always approved and boom done. But here, boy, you guys better, you know. No, but please give us a brief.
Yeah, they do a good job.
I think it came to light because of the IKEA contest we were involved in. Our kitchen at Station 1, our busiest station with most of our staff there, was remodeled in 1989 when the department came to be a full-time department, staffed 24 hours a day. It's coming up on 25 years of hard use. Life in the fire station, things get used.
You guys
it's,
make
it's
a lot
a
of
rough
meals.
Environment. It's a rough environment. It's 24-hour use. When a call comes in, guys literally drop everything and go out the door and then come back to various states of, you know, dirtiness and disrepair. Over the years, we've made the repairs that we can, but it's kind of at the end of its service life. The original materials used probably weren't designed to last as long as they have. We've gotten 25 years out of it. It's getting tougher and tougher to keep it kind of limping along.
We've put in previous requests and previous budgets, and it's been eliminated early in the process. Either we've had other priority projects we needed to get done before that, or the city or the mayor thought other stuff needed to be done first. So it's never made it to a final version of the budget request. That said, we were looking for other ways to do this project, and Assistant Chief Mayor here entered us in the IKEA contest. That kind of became a rallying point for the citizens. We got over 50,000 votes, but in the end, though we did better than all the other fire departments, we were up against a homeless shelter in a larger urban area, and in the end, we just couldn't compete. But other people have, in the wake of that, stepped up and would like to still see this process done. Local business owner is willing to donate his time and materials to get this project done, probably saving over half the cost. We're estimating somewhere in the area of $20,000, possibly even $25,000. If you guys wanted to take a look at the design effort he's put into it. And I don't know if you want to show the materials. I mean, this is top quality materials. This will get us another 25, 30 years or more. Seeing how long we got through with the cheaper stuff, this is going to last for probably the service life of the fire station.
Is that a granite countertop? Is that what that is?
He also got that donated. We'll have to pay for the prep work and installation.
Nice.
Good product that'll last a long time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's almost fireproof.
So what are you putting hot on it?
For the fires in the firehouse.
What are you requesting of the council?
We had requested money in the 2013 budget to remodel existing bathroom facilities at Station 1. For a while, it looked like we were going to win the kitchen contest, so we kind of held off on that, and that we have not yet spent that money. What we would like to do is have that repurposed to complete this project and then resubmit that request for next year's, because the bathroom remodel is still an important project to us. A couple important things to note. This cost could come down because there's other people that have expressed interest in donating materials, possibly appliances. Some of the big box stores in the city have also contacted us. We don't have anything definite or for certain from them, but that could impact this positively. Another thing to add is, not only is the kitchen the heart of the firehouse, it's also a gathering place in the community. We host tour groups, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, the Health Department, Safety Academy tours our stations. We meet with a lot of groups, and we don't have like a formal meeting room, so a lot of times these will take place right around the kitchen table. We had a Lego League team in last week, and 14 kids sitting around the kitchen table. This is a positive for the community. We'd like to be able to take advantage of this donation because it's ultimately going to save the taxpayers on something that really needs to be done in the next, if not this year, within the next couple years, because it's hard to keep it limping along and keep it functional.
Well, we do have a motion and a second to meet your request, Alderman Dandrea.
Adam, do you guys have a like a spec? So do we have an idea of what the cost breakdown is?
We have an estimate here that I can pass around. And again, if certain parts of this didn't get deleted, that would get cropped off and we might get repurposed.
Because of the material that we obtained, it's just a flat dollar amount you're asking for. And I mean, I see the $50,000 IKEA project, and I'm trying to envision, is this a $50,000 project, or are you putting the bathroom into this project as well? Are you going to be doing both projects at the same time?
We would request for 2014 capital budget that the $20,000 that was set aside to do the bathrooms for in 2013, mm-hmm. we would re-request that for next year. This is strictly the kitchen and day room area. And 17.5 is, we're estimating, kind of the worst case scenario, depending on what else would get donated.
So this is 17.5. This is above and beyond the $20,000.
No. That's part of the 20.
Part of the 20.
In other words, we're not asking for the full 20. We're asking for the appropriate 17.5.
Oh, okay.
From the bathroom to the kitchen.
Yep. Sure. And none of the items that are being donated are into this. This is all prep work. Counter prep install.
Other than the cabinets and the countertop, we don't have confirmation on anything being donated. That's good leads.
Okay.
But until they're donated, we need to make sure we can finish.
So that's what's being donated by
Hobby Work.
Hobby is the cabinets and the stock or the countertop. Okay. Okay, and these were your estimates, or
I came up with those. I think they're fairly accurate. The end project at 17.5, I'm very comfortable with that number. Some of the numbers might be off, $100 here, $100 there. But
okay.
The end result is I'm very confident we can do that.
Okay. Thanks.
Alderman Skronsky.
No, I looked at the numbers, and I've been at the station a couple times, and I'm sure there's things that are going to be able to help the fire station out and get donated. And I think Ron's numbers are pretty accurate. He's familiar with this kind of stuff, and I think they're realistic. But if we get stuff donated, so much the better, and get the community interest in it. And that's why it's nice that they can show this right now and help out.
Okay,
on
the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. I
was just going to add, since we have a couple of newer aldermen, if we've had some of these issues come up, our standard practice for a capital outlay purchase, which this is, in the department's budget, if a change in purpose occurs for less than $5,000, it just takes an oral approval. Over $5,000, we bring it to the town council. If it's in the capital improvement fund, the larger project, those actually require a budget modification. So this is just a capital outlay purchase through the department budget.
And that's 2/3, right?
Yeah, if it were in the capital.
Right.
Fund, this is
right.
Just the operating.
All right, so once again, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. And please, on behalf of the Common Council, thank those that have donated so far and those that will donate. That's greatly appreciated.
And who's going to do the first cooking in the kitchen remodel?
Not me.
Oh.
Okay, item G4, standards, findings, and decision of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of Franklin Public Schools for a special exception to certain natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. Alderman Willem.
I have a question on if they
been
issued a building permit yet?
Joel, deal?
I don't think they've got a building permit yet. Early start, footings, foundations, preliminary approvals, yes. I'm not aware of them getting a full building permit yet.
Ask that question because one of the decisions and the recommendation is that they submit some additional documentation prior to the building.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt the standards findings decision of the city. Do we? I'm asking if we do. Could we please have one?
Can't do that, do we?
Move to adopt.
Second.
We have a motion to approve in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item G5, resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for and as part of a site plan amendment and natural resource special exception for property located at 822 South 51st Street to allow for a 25% parking increase and additions to and renovations to the Franklin High School building and site, tax key number 807-999-9-001. Franklin Public Schools applicant.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Under discussion. Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Item number 6. Resolution conditionally approving a 2-lot certified survey map being a redivision of Lot 3 of a certified survey map number 4918, being a part of the southeast one quarter of the southwest one quarter, section 24, township 5, north range 21, east in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, Wyndham Homes LLC owner at 3553 West Sherwood Drive. This property, I can say, has been vacant. If, for those that have been around long enough, actually right before I got here, there was a really dilapidated home that was an eyesore, and I think my predecessor spent over 3 years trying to get that building torn down. Since that time, it's been a vacant lot, one gigantic lot, and this would be a great improvement to that neighborhood. It's right on the corner of 35th and Ryan Wills. So if we could have a motion.
Second.
Any discussion? See none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 7, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a preschool education facility used upon property located at 3501 West Ryan Road, Academy of Preschool Learning, Inc. Joel?
Planning Commission recommended approval, the only condition being the hours of operation as proposed by the applicant. We did receive a letter from the adjacent church concerned about the parking arrangements. Next Step Dance Studio shares parking in the parking lot. However, based on the information from the applicant and our UDO parking standards, Next Step Dance Studio's parking lot, their own parking lot, would be large enough for this use. So they would not need to share the church's parking lot.
Right. It seemed like both parties were okay with this. Yeah. All right.
Move to it now.
I'll say it.
All right, under discussion, see none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 8, status report of the Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail Development Project, which is immediately south of and east of Pleasant View Elementary School. Jack? Joel, wait a second.
Yes,
do you need to be here on this one at all?
Is your Jack needs
me. I would stick around just in case we have some questions. Okay.
Well, I know Jack's preparing to show us the trail. I do have a few comments and questions, especially regarding the timeline. I guess I'll see his brief presentation, but I don't want this to be very long.
Okay, just real briefly.
Duly noted.
The city's looked at a number of the original application made a trail that ran like such. Then because of the floodplain here and all, looked at a trail that went through here and up and over. And then finally went back to Planning Commission. Planning Commission recommended that we have a trail. They recommended that Kevin Haley, who is a landscape architect for Milwaukee County, actually walk the way out the trail. So we did that a couple weeks ago with Mr. Haley, and this is the trail we came up with. And it is about 25% longer than the original application. We have a bridge crossing here. We have some wetlands up here we have to cross. And that basically the planning department who was handling the applications and all indicated the report for going through all the processes of wetland approval. I worked with Sewer Pack. My recommendation is to build a bridge, take off the old deck, and you can get a prefab deck to put on the bridge. You do not fill within the current planning, you just keep the trail existing level that should facilitate a fast approval of the crossing of the creek. I think that's kind of it. Construction wise, feel that probably it's not going to be possible to build this building before the end of the year. We need to have a 6 weeks of dry weather. Fall usually isn't a good time to do this. But we recommend going out for bid and getting a contract for about 6 months to build the trail, so we can find a couple of months of dry weather and have it completed before school starts in September. That's pretty much. It's been a little struggle on where the trail should be, but I think the mayor kind of took the lead to get the plan commission, and made the decision that this is all good.
All right, I'll go on.
A couple things, corrections. The original application was the application that I worked extensively on, the DNR grant. It was a proposed area to be down there. That was before we realized how much underwater it would be, and it was flexible in its location. So it was not a complete set in stone trail. As far as the plan commission recommending for it to go up there, that was also previously done by the council. I'm not quite sure why it kept going back to the plan commission. And then as far as we'll have to cross the bridge, all the alternatives have that, and no fill in the floodplain, which may question the item on the agenda time frame for that. In front of you, you have two council action sheets, minutes that I asked staff to bring forward. I have spent time looking for these and getting them too. So I'd like to note on the first one, it's dated 5/07, and that would be May of 2013, when the G12 item on Pleasant View was. Alderman Wilhelm moved to direct staff to prepare an alternative option on the northern trail as presented, which is what you're looking at right there. That was back in May. It took several different terms. On June 20th, it went back to the Plan Commission. They still stuck with alternative one. On July 7th, it went back to the Common Council, which is the second set of motions that you have, the ninth. And that says, Alderman Wilhelm directs staff to inform the DNR that alternative one for the Pleasant View Trail is the city's preferred trail location, and to direct staff to perform all necessary steps to construct the trail within or near the timeline of the grant, which is this November, including but not limited to field locate and engineer the actual trail location, prepare and submit. And you can all see all the steps here. Okay, so then at some point, someone decided that Kevin Haley need to be the one to walk the site, even though the council said go ahead and do this. So that was another further delay. Kevin Haley walked the site on July 4th. I asked the chair of the Complete Streets Committee to put it on the Complete Streets agenda on October 8th. It was also on the Park Commission agenda, or August 8th. And on August 8th, we were told at that time that the plan was near completion. Now we're looking at September 27th in the council packet when we're going to talk about completion. I'm not understanding how we can go from May until now and still not have a simple basic plan that's somewhere between 3,500 to 4,000 feet. This is less than a mile trail. So especially when the council directs it and then it ends up going to staff, and you hear Mr. Bennett say then the plan commission made a recommendation. I'm really confused why the plan commission is even making a recommendation. My motion said nothing about waiting for Kevin Haley to go out there and walk the trail to lay out this design. It gave the direction back in May, it gave the direction again in July, and we're still sitting here without anything. So I could go through each one of these points. You probably don't want me to do that.
But based on my three conversations with engineers and several contractors, they said we could still get this project done. Staff just has to get it going. They have to get the plan finalized, which should be able to do in 10 days. It should be able to go out for bid. You can award them in 30 days, and you have a month. According to the people that I showed this preliminary design for, they said they could get this done in 3 days. If you can't get this trail done in that period of time, then they suggested that the annual cover crop be put down, a winter cover crop be put down, and finished up in the spring. So I understand that staff is not real thrilled about a really fast, 10 days to get this out. But certainly, the people in this district that have been asking about this deserve not to wait when they've been told and their council has made a motion to make this happen and it's been delayed, and now they're being told they can't even mow it anymore because that's a problem. So, like I said, I'm going to apologize for what the motion I'm about to make that's going to feel very tight on staff, but it's, to me, someone's direct delay on this process that has put us in this bind not to follow the council agenda. How many times do you have to have alternative one on the agenda? So I guess I'd like to make the motion, which goes along with the last two motions for alternative one, which already told staff to go out and do the exact same steps I'm going to do again. Move to direct staff to prepare and go out for sealed bids as previously directed as soon as possible, not to exceed the estimate within the grant, that's the estimated cost within the grant, and return the bids to the Common Council on September 30th.
I will second that.
I'll second.
You'll second it? What? So I don't have to? Okay, great. Under discussion, Alderman Schmidt.
Well, you realize we're trying to do this along with all the other work we have. We've just finished our road program. I just lost one of my technicians. They just is going to Richfield. I'm short of staff. We don't think it's a good time to bid the project. Oak Creek just bid a sidewalk job and it came in 40% higher. They only got one bid. A lot of contractors, because of the wet spring, and a lot of contractors have cut their staff crews down, and we think there's just a lot of work out there and the contractors are bidding high on the jobs. Well, we can drop everything, we can get it out, and we can bid it. I don't care. It's not our recommendation. We don't think it's a good time to bid. It's going to be touch and go. Asphalt plants close hunting season, and they don't open until May. Why go out and disturb all the ground? And then we're going to have to put erosion control over the winter, probably some kind of crop on it, or follow DNR standards. We just don't think it's an advisable thing. I don't know. We got until 2015 to complete the trail for our grant. It took a long time to get the route. We kept asking, how do we do this? How do we do this? And the mayor finally put it on the plan commission to try to get it going. But we needed somebody to say, here's the trail that we're going to do. So if we're so directed, we'll absolutely do what we're directed, but I think it's ill-advised.
Well, I wish we would have so directed back in May. We wouldn't be at this situation. Or we could have so directed back when the Planning Commission made the recommendation. Or we could have so directed in July, and we wouldn't be at this situation. And people I talk to say fall is a better time because spring is too wet, cover crop is cheap, and they are actually, some of the people are still trying to go out for bid because they did said the fuel costs are low right now, and there are still some contractors very hungry for work, which is not exactly the same as what we heard. So I'm getting, you know, different opinions from supposed experts. I guess my main point is I'm a little upset about the process and the direction and the lack of follow-through on the direction. And given that, I think there should be a little pressure put on to make it happen. And I've made that motion to do so, and I know it can be done because I have been advised by several well-qualified people that it's possible.
Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I'd have to go along with Jack, and I understand that there's been a lot of delay here, but I'd have to go along with the engineering department because they're going to have to manage, and you don't need any additional cost of the thing. So that's my two cents.
Alderman Andrea?
Yeah, the motion is to stay within budget. Mm-hmm. So let's put it off the bid. Let's see if we can get it done. This has not just been since these last agendas. I mean, it's been going on for a year and a half. So let's go. Someone's dragging their feet.
Well,
yeah.
And the reason I was going to second it, but I didn't think that Alderman Schmidt did was for discussion because I share Mark Wilms' frustration. I just sat up here either 2 weeks ago or a month ago, explained, which I shouldn't have to because we all know it, the differences between the legislative branch and the executive branch. When we make a decision, when this body passes something, it's the executive branch's job to implement it, not delay it. Nowhere in G4, on July 9th, did it say go back to the Plan Commission. Nowhere. Who puts the Plan Commission together, Joel? Who has input on it? Was it your idea to put it on Plan Commission? Whose idea was it to put on the Plan Commission agenda? Because the direction from the Common Council, if the mayor didn't like that item, he could have vetoed it, chose not to. Yet, instead of putting it to work, putting staff to work to get this done, put it on the Plan Commission agenda. More delay. The Common Council acted. The Plan Commission, I respect, everyone that serves on the Plan Commission, but they, besides the aldermen, are not elected. They're advisory to this body. So when we make a decision, there's no reason it should have went there. So I'm totally frustrated, just like Alderman Wilhelm is. And it's not staff's fault that item went there. That goes right to the executive branch, that this has been delayed all summer long. And as Alderman Dandrea said, within budget. So Alderman Wilhelm knows this project. She spent a lot of time on this project. I believe that the people she's talking about probably have a good idea what they're telling her. And we'll see if we can get it within the budget. There's nothing, you know, Alderman Mayor.
Just a couple quick questions for clarification. There were three trails, as I recall. Is this a trail, or are we all agreement that this is the trail?
Yeah, we passed it twice previously.
Okay, and then I heard that there were two different dates for the grant. You mentioned earlier that Mr. Bennett mentioned
2014.
15.
That's the
gap. That'd
be my
comment.
Okay. I
can
better answer that.
Alderman
Wilhelm? The grant application was submitted to the DNR, said we would be completed by November of this year. That's what we told the DNR when we put the application. And unless we encumber funds again, that's what's more staff time, we're going to lose the funding, then we'll be back at the table doing this all over again, so all the funds have to be encumbered with the finance and the budget, and then we're going to have to notify the DNR and get approval, and it's all a funding, it's just way more work than more work again.
Mayor, you still on the floor?
Just one quick more quick question. Even if we go out to bid, we're not committed, correct? If the bids come back high, we have to accept them, we can go back to
trying
to be.
Would you like to answer that, please?
That's correct, although once you go out for bid, all the contractors reveal their prices. It's never good to have to reject bids, although it happens from time to time. But yeah, you have the chance to award bids or not award bids. So you can reject all bids. Rebid it again in spring or whatever.
On this side, we have Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Skronsky.
I know when we've been adding this back and forth, and I did join the Plan Commission in the middle of all this. I know it was thoroughly discussed in July when I joined it. And was it sewer and stuff like that, but that was at that point when we really got on board with this northern route, the option number one, and that's when we made a firm recommendation that we pursue getting this one done.
But the issue, though, the issue would be is that decision was already made by the Common Council. Mm-hmm. The Plan Commission didn't even be discussing other routes, and they made a recommendation to who? Because it didn't come back to this body because we already made that recommendation. So to me, that was just a gigantic waste of time talking about something that this body already decided. And there's a problem there. If anybody up here doesn't agree with that, we can have that conversation afterwards. But that's a problem when this body acts and says this is the direction of the city's going to go in. It's supposed to be implemented. And when it's not, that's like a slap in the face to this body. Alderman Scranton.
Yeah, I have a question. Jack says 15, Alderman Wilhelm says 14, which is correct. I just like to know, because we've got a year, year spread in between that.
Yeah, the grant was an estimate and a grant that would be done this year. But the grant is good until sometime in 2015, so it can be, has to be completed by then, or you could lose the grant.
Okay, I just like clarification on, you know, who's got the right date. You know, it makes a difference. And the second thing is, I agree with the bidding, because I've been in that situation. When you're going to go out and bid and you reject the bids, everybody knows the figures, and it doesn't become an even playing field anymore when you're looking for people to bid again. That kind of puts a bad taste in people's mouth when you do it, because it takes a lot of money. Everybody thinks bids are free. They're not. They cost you a lot of money in order to your staff and everything else in order to make that bid. So that's a fact of life.
On Wilhelm, and then we'll.
I did say sealed bids in my motion.
Mr. Bennett.
I have a question then. When on the bids do you want the completion date?
Well, I had it come back to council on the 30th.
No, I don't. That's not. If we go out for bids, mm-hmm. you have to put a completion date in the bid. And we usually put liquidated damages in, so if they don't complete the bid at that time, they get penalized. What will be the completion date that we put in the bid?
November 30th. How's that?
November 30th. Okay.
Mr. City Attorney?
Unless that's a problem.
I was just going to say that I understood the background of this.
Well, he was asking for one, and like I said when I had my discussion, you can carry that out till spring because they can complete and come back and do all the restoration work that needs to be done. They can throw down cover crop. Cover crop is cheap. So you can have a completion date for a certain aspects of it, but you can carry the final completion out till spring.
Okay. The completion date then for the asphalt would be...
Right,
November
because
30th?
They kind of stop making asphalt when it gets cold, so you want to...
Yeah, it would be... Probably couldn't make it after that anyway. You want the completion, substantial completion, subject to final landscaping. I mean, we got to know these things. I can't do a contract unless I
Jack,
know what
I
to put
in. Jack, I think you know how to do this.
I know how to do it, but I got to know what you want.
We already gave you complete direction of the council to go make it happen back in July.
November 30th.
You make it happen. That's your job. Not to have us do the details. Then we're micromanaging, and then you'll be upset because we're micromanaging.
I think the frustration is that this has been going on for a very long time, and Alderman Wilhelm has felt, rightfully so, that there's been some roadblocks put in front of this project time and time again. And what happened going to Plan Commission, I think, is just the ultimate insult. So sure, frustration is warranted. And so I think, Jack, you've done enough of these things. You know what we need to do to get it accomplished. I think we all want to see this trail being used by people in that area of the city. Mark?
Just a point of information. I understood the motion was saying come back to the board on September 30th. I don't think we have a meeting on September 30th.
No later than.
Wasn't later than, because that would then mean September 20th.
Actually, we... we should, how long do you have to have it out for bid?
We should probably have it out for bid for 3 weeks.
Okay, so 3 weeks plus 10 days, the next council meeting after that. 10 days to get it ready to go, 3 weeks for it to be out, get it on the next plan commission.
Sure.
For approval.
Sure.
It's short. It's, but we've had since May.
Yeah. Is the council then authorizing us tonight to go out for bids on this?
Is that in the motion?
Because that's the next step. If you authorize us to go out for bid.
Yes, that is the next step.
That would, and with a completion of the asphalt by November 30.
Yes.
Is it, Madam Clerk, you want to read back the motion or no?
Alderman Wilhelm moved to direct staff to prepare and go out for sealed bids as previously directed. And I missed the next.
Not to exceed the estimated cost with the grant.
Any grant and return to the cost council no later than September 30th.
Can't tell
what was that, Jack?
Well, I can't tell them what to bid. I mean, that's.
Well, we'll find out.
They can't bid. I without exceeding estimated cost, how do I do that?
Well,
they bid what they're going to bid.
We're not going to accept anything that's over a budget. Is what
well,
I,
that's,
what I think.
That's right, but they'll bid whatever they
well,
bid.
Well, sure, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely, you can't, right? You can't control what they're going
to
bid.
But it gives you the opportunity to deny the bid if you bid there.
Well, you better deny the
bid. Yeah, we would
deny
the bid.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that.
All right, I have Alderman Mayer, then Alderman Skransky. They may want to take a vote.
Aside from everything else, from a practical standpoint, from a realistic standpoint, Mr. Bennett, do you need more direction on this for the November 30th deadline? They stopped making asphalt around that time. Is it going to be more expensive if we do that? Is there? Do we need to have some kind of an out that gives us a, I don't know, an April something deadline for the asphalt and do the cover crop like we talked about in the meantime?
Well, that's what our suggestion was originally, but we can... I don't recommend this. I think you're doing things. You may not get any bids. I don't know. We'll get them out as fast as we can. I'll do everything you want, but we'll do what you tell us to do. But we sure don't recommend it.
Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, I have a question. Everybody thinks calendar days are working days. They're not. You only have 20 working days, construction days, within a month. You don't count the weekends. You don't count the holidays. You're going to get two holidays in there, which are going to be off, unless they fall on a weekend. So if you count back construction days, that's what you got to look on time period for the contractor to say, yeah, I can get it done in that time, or you can say, no way in hell can I do it at this time. Because the days are not there based on the scope of work that I have to perform. And any contractor would get in there and look at liquidated damages. He said, I'd be a damn fool to do this because he says, I'll get myself in problem. Plus, you get weather. If you get an early snow or you get rain in there, you're out of luck. So, and I'm telling you from experience, I'm in that business. I bid that business. I know what it is. And when you get to that area, the state of Wisconsin says you do not pour concrete after November 15th, and asphalt is very close to that. Otherwise, you know, that's an old one. So, just be cautious on this because you don't want it to backfire. And I understand Alderman will help to get this thing going, but sometimes caution is a little better than so we don't get ourselves in hot water. Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm, and then we're going to take the vote.
Well, I guess I'm pretty disappointed that we're going to put up yet another roadblock. We need to just get this done. And I had apologized from the beginning that I was going to drop this motion, but it's anybody up who sits here and makes a motion in the future and doesn't have their motion carried out, it's going to feel the same way I do. And I think it sends us a message that, you know, the council takes action not only once but twice, that it needs to be carried through.
Can we have a motion on the floor in a second?
Can we have the motion clarified one more time?
A third time? All right, Madam Clerk, please read back the motion for a third time.
Alderman Wilhelm moved to direct staff to prepare and go out for sealed bids as previously directed, with costs not to exceed the estimate in the grant, and return to the Common Council no later than September 30th, 2013. 2013.
What are we coming back to council with?
The bids.
The approval of the bids.
So the bids have to be due November 30th. September 30th.
No later.
It would be September 24th because that's the next step.
Yeah.
So that gives you a month.
And I didn't change it because her motion was...
Well, the bids are due. The bids are going to be 3 weeks for them to bid the job. So that means it's the first part of September we have to have it ready.
Right.
We're in August.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We can't do it.
You can't get the...
We can't design it and get it out for bids in 5 or 6 days.
On the wrong.
I was told at the Complete Streets Committee, and so was the chair, and that it's almost completely designed. And every time this comes up, it's almost completely designed. How much more do you have to do this? It's not that big of a deal. We've taken shots. We've been out there. We've walked it with the DNR. We've walked it with the Corps. We've been with staff.
Kevin Haley.
Kevin Haley's been up the sewer pipe. There's GIS markers. It's been roped. It's been staked. It's been, you know... Really? You can't design that? Turn it loose to somebody who can design it then and to finish it up. Because according to, we already had a preliminary design and cost estimates when we put the grant application in over a year and a half ago.
How far, Jack, are we? I mean,
we finished surveying this route because we've never had a route until then. Somebody said, take the north route. What's the north route until you define the north route? So we had a number of drawings. The north route should go here. So we finally defined the north route. Now we went out and today they finished surveying it and taking elevations. Now the next step is we have to do plan and profile. And we have to then design the trail, which we haven't even started yet because we can't do that until we have the plan and profile. I'll probably have the plan and profile tomorrow. And then we can start designing the trail. But I don't see how we can possibly get the trail designed and get back here and have the bids back by the 24th. And when it's out for bids for 3 weeks, and we got to advertise twice in the paper, to me it's not a possible thing to do. I'll try. I'll do everything I can, but I don't think we can do it.
Jack, you got to set a line.
Alderman Willen, please. Mr. Lord,
I apologize. I need to correct that. I was reading a small calendar. Your meeting in September is September 17th, and it was October 1st.
How about the October 1st then?
Well, October 1st, you're going to finish it by November?
We have
November
a meeting on September 30th. 30th. Yeah.
There's some time to do it.
In 2 months?
That'd be committee of the
whole. It's.
We have a center line of the trail.
Yes.
We have a horizontal and vertical alignment. It was surveyed in the field.
We'll have that tomorrow.
And that's really all you need.
Somebody has to design where the trail is going to go.
Right there.
In the floodplain areas, we have to match existing. We want to raise the trail above ground. We've taken soil samples. We know how what the depth of topsoil is.
I know how much. I know exactly where we're at with this. And I'm going to say it again. I'm sorry. But maybe if someone would have taken the first council action or the second council action and started getting moving on it, you wouldn't be in this predicament. It's tight. Yes. It can be done. Yes.
I don't think it can physically.
Well, then I guess we'll fail. But we can give it a try. And we should. Because we have made promises and we have made direction and they've been ignored. And if it doesn't go through, then I guess maybe we'll have a lesson learned or at least something. I don't know. But it's just totally unacceptable.
Mr. City Attorney.
How about instead of September 17th, how about October 1st? Because in line with the July Council direction, planning or Department of City Development sitting in the audience, they have to file whatever DNR applications are necessary. I'm not aware if those have been done. I don't think they were. Mr. Dino Shakin's from now, mm-hmm. as a common council, and you won't have an answer from the Department of Natural Resources if those applications get rammed home next few days. Might get an answer, and there, I'm not sure what's left. I hear there are no wetland crossings. I hear there are wetland crossings. If there's any wetlands involved here, from my experience, there's that public notice that DNR issues. Alderman Wilhelm shaking her head.
General permit, new process.
Okay.
30 days.
All right, well, you got a 30
recreational trails.
If they get in by October 1st, then at least you know whether or not the other levels of government have authorized this. Otherwise, you can't award a bid because you don't know if you have a project. So that's just a thought.
Well, all of
them. And then it has to get part of the bid instructions are, this is year done pretty much within 30, 45 days scenario.
Three good days of weather.
All right. I think we've had a lively discussion on this matter. We have a motion. We have a second. Madam Clerk, you please take the roll. Roll call, please.
Could I ask for clarification
yeah.
on the date?
I'd like to go with the city attorney's opinion.
So no later than October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Committee of the Whole? Or is that Common
Council?
Council.
Common Council.
All right.
What's
so,
the big way up?
Bids back here October 1st instead of September.
Or October 1 council.
Mr. City Attorney.
And that perhaps the motion, original motion language referring to is the cost limit, which we can't do a bid, we should be doing those.
Do we need direction for staff, for planning staff to get to hammer that out?
No.
No?
It's a matter of motion
right.
requiring some cost limit. Bid documents because that just that part of it doesn't work.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. So, roll call, please.
Do we need the motion?
Do we need the motion right back?
Yeah.
We're okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we got it.
All right.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Alderman Skaronski.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-2. Item number 9, change order number 5 for the Ryan Creek Interceptor contract number 1 for serving the southwest portion of the city, reducing cost by $201,213.75. We have a
motion
to approve.
Authorize the city engineer to sign the change order number 5 for the contract number 1 of the Ryan Creek Interceptor, reducing the cost by $201,213.75 with a final cost of $5,482,295.41.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 10. Change order number 5 for the Ryan Creek Interceptor contract number 2 for serving the southwest portion of the city, reducing the cost by $260,554.61.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Item number 11. Change order number 8 for the Ryan Creek Interceptor contract number 3 for serving the southwest portion of the city, reducing the cost by $264,701.89.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Under discussion. Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Change order number 4 for the Ryan Creek Interceptor contract number 4 for serving the southwest portion of the city, reducing the cost by $153,909.34.
So moved.
Second.
The motion is second. Under discussion. Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Item number 13, resolution authorizing officials to execute an engineering service agreement with Lucar Milkey for the sanitary sewer lining on South 35th Street and South 36th Street between West Madison Boulevard and West Marquette Avenue, West Marquette Avenue between South 35th Street and South 36th Street, and the easement between South 36th Street and South 37th Place, south of West Madison Boulevard.
Second.
And a second. Motion and a second. Under discussion. Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Item number 14, population estimate as of January 1st, 2013, Madam Clerk.
The estimate is from the state, 35,810. I did send it to those departments that would deal with building permits, other things that would be affected by the population, and nobody had any appeal comments, so the council can place on file or move to direct an appeal.
Move to place on file.
Second.
Motion and second. Under discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion has it. Passes 6-0. We have miscellaneous licenses. Mark, Alderman Dandridge.
Okay. Licenses from the licensing committee. Class A combination, Quick Trip, approved with letter. Kelly, this is operator new. Kelly Theo Harris, approved with letter. Angelina Galindo, hold for appearance. Kelly Kukrich, approved. Tracy Kukla Lewis, approved. Temporary operator, Cecilia Peterson, or Janik Peterson, approved. Pamela the Howler, approved. New operator, Jeremy Brown, approved. Mariah Orman, hold for appearance. Panam Singh, approved. Shannon Trapman, hold for appearance. Katie Fay, approved. Operator renewal, Aaliyah Janik, approved. Corin Kornicki, approved. Alexander Mather, approved. Theodore Soder, hold for appearance. Ashley Trade, hold for appearance. Temporary Class B beer wine, St. Martin's and Tours Church, approved. Temporary entertainment amusement, St. Martin's and Tours Church, approved. Romy's Place, this is a recommendation from Fair Commission, temporary entertainment, amusement license, extension for music until 8:30. It was approved subject to payment, and the time was reduced to 8 p.m. to coordinate with the ordinance. That's the end.
I'll second.
And a second. Under discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Under vouchers and payroll, I have a motion approving net general checking accounts, city vouchers in the range of numbers 148,234 through 148,417 in the amount of $1,873,703.50 dated August 20th, 2013.
So moved.
Motion second. Madam Clerk, take the roll.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
aye.
Motion carries 6-0. We have a motion approving net payroll dated August 23rd in the amount of $330,486.35 and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $194,744.30 plus any city matching payments where required.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skrowski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wolf.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Motion approving property tax checking account vouchers in the ranges numbers 11,076 through 11,082 in the amount of $7,592,250.42 dated August 20, 2013.
So moved. Second.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skrowski.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
So moved.
All right. All in favor. Any discussion? No? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. We are adjourned.